When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to another episode of MLS UK Show Stoppage Time. I'm Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by the newly married...
Elliot Holman, Mr. Elliot Holman off of Mr. and Mrs. Holman, thank you.
We're recording this and, you know, last week we talked about how hot it is. It still is really hot in the UK. It's actually a record-breaking day for how hot it is here in the UK. But it just seems that it wasn't as hot as your wedding. I don't know whether it was because I was wearing a three-piece suit, whether we were drinking. Like, I ended the night, I had about six glasses of water and I was still dehydrated. You were on the dance floor most of the night. Have you managed to recover yet?
It's been a tough one, I'll be honest. Nothing has been as difficult this week as the photo shoot on the wedding day. You know, you get married at the church and then we went to the venue and everyone's having drinks and canapes, but we were off having a photo shoot. And that was the toughest thing, because I was in a three-piece suit and he's going, Elliot, if you could just dab your forehead a bit. I'm like, I'm sweating because I'm in a three-piece suit. And he was like, oh, let's just get a shot in this lovely like greenhouse area. And I'm like, are you serious? It's the hottest I've ever been in my life. But yeah, I'm sure it'll be worth it because I will look stunning on the photos, as you can imagine.
Yeah, well, you've already shown me one of the photos that I'm in, and luckily it was far enough away to not see the sweat. But it was a beautiful day, I've got to say. Me and Poppy had so much fun. It was great catching up with everyone that was there. Got to see your mum and dad, of course, and also got to see some Orlando City fans as well that I've not met who listen to the podcast. So that was nice. And I was thankful on Sunday evening. But because the people obviously weren't there, they won't know. The pictures disappeared for some reason. There was an instance at your wedding where you said, come on, come up here. But you've got to close your eyes. And then you all hoodwinked me with an Orlando City flag. So when we went 1-0 down at the weekend, I was dreading. I thought, oh, this is going to come out. Like, there's going to be a photo of me with an Orlando flag. You're going to be boasting. Weren't quite to be. So I was thankful in the end that we got a draw.
Yeah, we'll save the picture for the perfect moment, but 1-1 draw wasn't good enough to bring it out, I'm afraid.
It wasn't. So that is nicely moving on from your wedding. I mean, I could talk about your wedding all day, Elliot, but we are an MLS podcast, and it's moving nicely on to the first topic on this week's Stoppage Time, and it is rivalry week. Of course, as we've said, the MLS UK Show Derby, Atlanta drew 1-1 against Orlando. In the end, well, I'm not going to say a fair result, because I think Orlando should have. You had the first half an hour, and then for the rest of the game, it was all Atlanta. But I don't know about you, Elliot. I don't think Atlanta created enough chances in the end. We had a lot of possession, but we didn't create chances.
But there was the huge save from Jalese at the end as well, which meant Atlanta could have won it. So certainly could have gone either way. Draw, probably a fair result. I think over the season, Orlando have been better in that game for most of it. Atlanta were maybe in control, but yeah, lack of chances created. And that's been the story, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. And apart from the two shots at the end that hit the post, and like you said, the save from Dwyer, which, I mean, when Dwyer came on, I was praying. I thought this would be the greatest moment in MLS history, or MLS UK show history, if Dom Dwyer can score the winner against Orlando. It just didn't quite happen. But yeah, I think overall on the season, Atlanta, unfortunately, would probably take a point against Orlando. But, you know, if we carry on playing like that, I can see us having a strong end to the season. Moving on to other games on Rivalry Week. Miami 3, Charlotte 2. That was the big game. Well, the big result in the end anyway, because Charlotte were 2-0 down. Phil Neville had his brother there and his sister and the whole family. And then in the end, they saw a Miami win. 3-2, winner in stoppage time. And I mean, Miami are just slowly getting back to where we'd perhaps hoped they would be. I mean, can they make the playoffs? Or is this just going to be a damp squib and they're going to finish 10th in the end like usual?
Well, they certainly look like they've got a little bit more form now than we've seen in recent years. Still below Charlotte, which you'd have to say is a surprise. Before at the start of the season, you would be surprised to see that. Cincinnati, of course, ahead of them as well. So there's some teams there, Miami, Charlotte, Cincinnati, that you don't associate with playoff soccer in MLS. And at least one of them is going to be in there, I think. But of course, you've got New England, you've got Atlanta and Toronto. I know we're going to get onto them. Who are pulling out all the stops.
Yeah, there's a few teams that were started the season quite slowly that have picked up. A team that a few weeks ago we worried about them, maybe they could go on a bit of a decline, but they've come back, is New York City FC. 1-0 at their rivals, Red Bulls. Tati got the goal. Rumours that he's going to be coming to the Europe, which is basically going to be the whole summer full of rumours. Mm-hmm. Until the European transfer deadline. But this is a big win for NYCFC at a ground that they've not really been that successful at in recent years.
Yeah, they've got a game in hand as well on Philadelphia, who are in first, so they could reclaim that top spot with their game in hand, which would be crucial. It'd be very impressive, obviously, sort of weathering the storm of losing their coach, potentially losing Castellanos as well by the end of the summer. I'm pretty sure that is going to happen. Someone in Europe, someone, anyone, are they going to take the plunge? You know, it stems back to what we talked about before. I think teams in Europe do have reservations about Castellanos for obvious reasons, but in front of goal, Ollin's day, unplayable.
Yeah, I mean, he's a top quality player. And we said last week on the main episode that if he continues, if he does manage to get to the end of the season, he's going to be top goal scorer. He's going to be top goal scorer by about 4 or 5 goals. So for NYCFC fans, I'm sure they hope to keep hold of him for as long as they can. Elsewhere, we saw Gareth Bale's debut away at Nashville. They go on 2-1 in the end. Bale didn't really have much chance to do much on the pitch, although I think every football news outlet in the world has shared his first touch, which was a back heel. If you didn't watch the game or didn't catch the highlights, you wouldn't know what else happened, because that was the only thing that anyone seemed to show. But, you know, it's good that he's got his first game. He's going to, obviously, LAFC have got a... they've got home, well, they're away next weekend and then they're at home. So I think they're waiting for that grand homecoming, if you will, to fully unveil him. But it's nice that he's getting on the pitch, you know, for an away game, because MLS does have a sort of a history of maybe holding players back for the right moment for a debut. So it's good to see that they've gone, no, you're ready, let's get you out there.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, Gareth Bale joins LAFC when they're already top of the West. And that is a frightening prospect for all of the teams in both conferences, but especially the likes of Austin, who, let's be honest, they're performing way, way, way above expectation. Not because they aren't a good team, because they aren't a good roster, but, you know, it's their second season and they're sitting second in the West, doing extremely well. The gap to third is unbelievably big now. And when you look at the likes of Gareth Bale joining the league, not only is it great for LAFC, but it's just great for us as UK fans. It's great for the US and Canada fans who get to see him in action week in, week out. This is a win-win for everybody. But that first touch, statement of intent, I think.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be seeing more of that, and anything he can do to go viral across the world, and especially in this country, it helps us out here on the MLS UK show. Elsewhere, just the last point I'm going to mention on Rivalry Week. Now, Colorado v LA Galaxy isn't necessarily a rivalry on or off the pitch, but Colorado won 2-0. And it was comments from Derek Williams afterwards, the LA Galaxy defender, that really stuck in my mind. He said that a few of the players have got their own agendas, and that's perhaps why LA Galaxy aren't performing to what we'd hoped they would do over the summer. Do you think he's got a point? Do LA Galaxy seem like a team that are just full of individuals?
I think there's been a concern about that at the start of the season, especially when you look at the likes of Douglas Costa, who has struggled. I think there's, you know, kind of an element of the Higuain of last season there into Miami. And that ultimately, it's so difficult to build a good roster in MLS. It is the job of the coach, of his coaching staff, to make it work. You know, we talked about this last week with Orlando. Roster, good. Making it happen, not quite. You know, this is why the coaches are so important in MLS. You can't just go and buy another big star. The roster budgets and rules don't allow that. So ultimately, it's down to Greg Vanney.
He is in charge. He's got to sort of get the players together. I mean, you could argue with LA Galaxy that the last few managers have struggled to create that harmony around the club. And they seem a franchise that, you know, I think no matter who you support, maybe not LAFC fans or San Jose fans, but if you are an MLS fan, you want to see Galaxy doing well. You know, they'd be a part of you that wants them for the nostalgia just to be up there. And they are one of the biggest names in the league. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that it's not quite harmonious off the pitch. But as you said, that's down to the head coach to try and sort that out. Right, number two of what we're talking about this week on Stoppage Time has been two big transfers happened in the last 7 days in MLS. We're going to talk about Julian Gressel in just a moment. But first of all, Federico Bernardeschi has signed for Toronto from Juventus. It happened on Monday, yesterday, as we record this. What can he bring to Toronto, Elliot, as part of this Italian revolution that they've got?
Well, we spoke about it last time. They've moved on Pozuelo to Inter Miami. That left a pretty sizable gap in that number 10 spot, at the front end of the field for Toronto. And they filled it here with a player from Juventus who isn't done playing. You know, he's 28. This is a big move for MLS. This is a really good indication of where the league is moving to right now. 28 years old, could play for another 6-7 years at least. And that's something that we don't see often. Players don't join from big name teams like Juve and still have a long while left on their career. So this is huge. More, maybe we're looking at him more for assists than goals. You know, only 8 goals for Juve and 130 plus appearances, I believe. So I think definitely looking at him as more of an assist man. He will find it easier in MLS than in Serie A, of course. So we're hoping that he's going to chip in with goals as well. But this is huge for Toronto, who just keep adding and adding to a roster that is improving so much. And I'm already looking at them for next season as massive contenders.
Yeah, you know, this is probably why Bob Bradley ended up going there. You know, that it was the promise of these type of players coming in. Bernardeschi, of course, was part of the Euros team last summer. So he's got, you know, he's won medals. He's got an international medal, you know, in his trophy cabinet as well. I know Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup, so maybe he's been a bit of a casualty of that, and that's where he's now coming over to MLS. But still, she said at 28 years old, he's got a lot of years in him. I think he could have signed in one of the Europe's big leagues, not necessarily for one of the bigger teams, but, you know, I'm sure a team in the Premier League would have took a punt on him. So, yeah, it's great to see for Toronto. It's great to see for the league, and I'm excited to see what he does. As you said there, he's more of an assist guy. You've got a new striker that they've just signed who loves to put those assists away, so it could be a beautiful partnership. Heading across Canada then, Julian Gressel is signed for Vancouver, and he came a bit of a surprise to us, and according to some Twitter comments that he made, it came as a bit of a surprise to him as well. Another casualty of MLS's crazy trade system. Were you genuinely surprised by this, or can we not be surprised by anything now in MLS?
Well, let's pick up on the surprise bit first. You know, Gressel knows the deal. He signed a contract with MLS, not with DC United. So that's the way it works. He'll know that. And it's the same way that he left Atlanta United. But ultimately, that's what happens. It is a strange one. He's been forced to move not just clubs, but country under contract with no choice whatsoever. However, that's the way it works. Vancouver have got an excellent player. We all know that. It's a great deal for Vancouver, who, you know, they are on the up. It's been a tough few years for Vancouver. But ultimately, Gressel's a great player. He knows that's always going to be a possibility. He maybe didn't expect to be traded because he's a big part of DC United. But I think our focus here that I want to switch to is, this is a DC roster that we've already criticized heavily. You know, they lost big players in the close season. We didn't really think that they replaced them. And now they've lost Julian Gressel. Wayne Rooney's just arrived. I wonder what he thinks to it all.
Yeah, well, there's rumours of Columbus's Miguel Berry signing for DC. I mean, would you rather have Gressel or Berry in your team? Of course, Berry is younger and there's a lot of potential there. But I think over the last 12 months, he's perhaps not kicked on at Columbus as much as we would have hoped. So I don't know whether a new start would benefit him or not. But yeah, we weren't impressed with DC's roster as it was. There's rumours as well that Ravel Morrison's coming in, an English player who Wayne Rooney managed at Derby. So unless they've got big hopes and unless they've got a list of players that are coming in, you feel that DC aren't going to necessarily kick on. They lost again at the weekend and Wayne Rooney could struggle. I mean, going to Vancouver, they've got a great deal, Vancouver, and I think this is exactly what they need, a bit of MLS experience, which you look at DC and say, well, how much have they got in the team now? And we know how important it is.
Yeah, exactly. Leaves a big hole for DC United. If they get Berry, fine. Like you say, I think the MLS experience of Gressel is worth a lot more. So it's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Rooney obviously is going to attract players, but they're under the same restrictions as every other team. You know, Inter Miami arrived with high hopes. LAFC did. I would argue LAFC have done the best job of roster management. But even they, you know, had a couple of years out of the sun. So it's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Rooney will make things happen at DC United. Is it going to be this season? It doesn't look like it.
No, they're definitely in transition. Another team that are now in transition, number three, we're talking about this week on MLS UK show Stoppage Time, is Atlanta United. Darren Eales has been announced that he's to him and his transfer teasing emojis and GIFs are going over to these shores to Newcastle United. I mean, personally, I think this is a great from Newcastle United. Obviously, we know Atlanta well. We've worked with Darren Eales before, so they liked what they worked with when Miggy signed for them. But where do Atlanta go now? Do you think, from looking at the outside, do they need a new start, or is this something that they could have done without?
Easy for me to say with my Orlando hat on, but I think Atlanta are in trouble a little bit. I do. I think too much is going wrong. You know, there was since COVID, since the MLS's back tournament, it's not been a bed of roses. And I think every team has an aspect of that. We just talked about DC, you know, Vancouver, we're hoping are on the way up. LA, FC have been out of the limelight for a while. They're now back. Hopefully it's just a transitional period, as you mentioned. But you just feel like there's been a lot at play, and it's all been pretty negative from, you know, comments from Martinez. Ever since Tata left, essentially, there's been a problem at Atlanta United, and this is not going to solve it.
No, I've got to sadly agree with you. I think for Atlanta at the moment, they're taking one step forward and then two steps back. I think we see that on the pitch. I know the injuries haven't helped, but at the end of the day, you know, you're looking at Atlanta's social media and you're seeing, at least it seems at the moment, like once a week, once every few weeks, they're making a different signing. And I know it's to combat the injuries, and especially the ones to Guzan, and then Shuttleworth has really knocked them. You wouldn't expect to play three goalkeepers in one season. But it just seems that there's nothing settled at the moment. And the one place where it was settled with Darren Eales as chief executive Well, he's now gone. So I don't blame Eels for the opportunity. Newcastle is a club at the moment who are look like they're going places. And even if you're going to be in that position and with them, then this is a great time to join and put your stamp on things. But yeah, for Atlanta United, it's the end of an era. He's someone that brought, he brought MLS to Atlanta and then moved them to Mercedes-Benz. And, you know, he was a big part of the MLS Cup winning side. So, it's disappointing as an Atlanta fan. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen now, who's going to be brought in. But I don't know. I think with the way Atlanta are at the moment, I'm confident that it's going to be someone who's going to take this club forward. No, I'm not. You know, I think we need a marker to put down with someone who's a big name, who's going to grab the club by the scruff of the neck. And I don't know whether they'll do that. So we'll wait and see. But as an Atlanta fan, I mean, Darren Eales has done a brilliant job. So it's disappointing that he's leaving, but it's all eras have got to come to an end. So, he goes with, I'm sure, a lot of Atlanta's fans waving him off and saying thank you.
Yeah, I think it's difficult in MLS. If you take Manchester United as an example, it's been a very slow decline over the last 10 years, but that's left them where they are. In MLS, it doesn't take that long. Other teams, you know, bounce back. They manage to turn things around with big roster changes, big boardroom changes, front office changes. It's very easy for an MLS Cup champion team like Atlanta to all of a sudden find themselves right down the bottom and struggling. And that's because everyone else has improved. They're going backwards. There's no doubt about that. Admittedly, they're going backwards from a very strong position. But in MLS, things turn around so quickly. And that's why we love this league. Anyone could go and win the league next year. Vancouver could easily go and win the league next year. No one would particularly bat an eyelid. That's what's crazy about it. So it's very easy for Atlanta to find themselves in trouble. This is not going to help.
Right, so let's move on very quickly from that. I don't want to talk about the decline of Atlanta. I want to talk about our fourth topic on Stoppage Time. And it's David Ochoa. You'll remember David Ochoa. He was the goalkeeper for RSL who was the story of the playoffs last season with his, how would you put it, Elliot?
Elaborate, unsportsmanlike, maybe?
Yeah, well, let's go with that. Yeah, elaborate, unsportsmanlike behaviour. Anyway, he's not really played for RSL this season, and he's become the forgotten man. Although he did, on Instagram this week, put out a story saying, for those who are asking, yes, I am still an RSL player. I'm just not allowed to train with a team. Apparently, he's been training with the Monarchs. And yeah, he's saying he doesn't know why, he doesn't know what he's done. So this is an interesting one because I've got to admit, I mean, yeah, he was the story of the playoffs last season. I think RSL have done very well. Obviously, they've done well with Zach McMath in goal, covering him. So things are all good at the moment at RSL. He has become the forgotten man. I mean, we don't know too much about it, but do you think there's something gone on there? Do you think there's something that perhaps we're only getting one side of it?
I find it very difficult to believe that he's training with their USL side and he doesn't know why. I don't believe that. He clearly knows the reason. Otherwise, he wouldn't agree to it. He wouldn't accept it. Surprised the club haven't tried to move him on, if that's the case. That suggests that maybe it's more of a shorter-term punishment than a long-term view. But unluckily for him, they are doing very well without him. Now, he's not a star striker that you can't afford to leave out. So it's going to be an interesting one to see what happens here. But I don't believe he doesn't know. That would be very bizarre.
Yeah, well, the club have said that Zach McMath has earned the place at the moment. So, why would you change it? Alex Mower, who's a part of the RSL's podcast, The Hive, for The Hive Sports, he's done a bit of a breakdown of why Ochoa has not been playing, or of what we've been told anyway. He said he had a quad injury at the start of the season, then a finger issue, that was in April. He then played in the US Open Cup in April, but then missed games in May for an excused personal absence, a dislocated finger, and then a coach's decision. And apparently he's now working on his fitness. So, yeah, this is one to watch, perhaps. But, I mean, this is the thing. As great as he was, what we were watching him last season in the playoffs, that type of character, there's a few clubs that would be put off by that. Do you know what I mean? A few clubs that would go and say, OK, he's a good goalkeeper, but do we really want him to come in, maybe disrupt the dressing room, disrupt our flow of play, you know, get the referees and other fans on our backs? Do you know what I mean? It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, and in all seriousness, and I mean this seriously, you know, it's the Don Dwyer thing, isn't it? Even Liam Ridgewell said it on the podcast when we spoke to him. You know, great when that's on your team, everyone else doesn't take too kindly to it. So it's going to be an interesting one to watch, certainly.
Well, we will be watching on the MLS UK show. As soon as he gets back in the team, I'm sure we'll be mentioning it, because you can't ignore David Ochoa when he plays for RSL. But that's it from us this week for MLS UK show Stoppage Time. We've got a full episode next week. And then, Elliot, you're on your honeymoon for a few weeks. So we are like when I was on my honeymoon a few weeks ago, or last month, or whenever it was now. Time just flies, especially when it's this hot. We will be hoping to speak to some people around MLS, so stay tuned for that. Remember, MLS UK show is sponsored by Soccer90.com. Head to Soccer90.com to get to the latest shirts, whether it be from MLS or the European leagues, or some South American and North American leagues as well. And when you're at the checkout, type in MLS UK and get 20% off. Right then, Elliot, enjoy the rest of your first week as being a married man. we'll catch up next week when hopefully it's getting to the point now. You've got one last week where Orlando can ruin your weekend, and then the English league start again. So you've got both Norwich and Orlando who can ruin your weekend.
Oh, good. Bring on the pain.
That's it from us. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube if you're watching there, or on your podcast provider. Throw us a like, throw us a rating as well. But if you're going to rate us on your podcast provider, Elliot, there's one rule and one rule only.
5 stars, LA Galaxy style.
Yes, and the way they're playing, that's going to remain for another season. That's it from us. Thank you very much. See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.